Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shute from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Welcome everyone to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. Today on the show, I have one of my favorite folks on that he just keeps on coming back to the show, and I really appreciate it. Thomas Herrenstam from Free League Publishing. Thomas, thank you so much for coming back on again and chatting with me for a little bit about Elysium that's on Kickstarter right now.
Well, thank you. Good to be back.
I always love having you on. You're putting out some great products, and this is a product that you have on right now on Kickstarter. It's doing really, really well, and I was hoping it would hit by the end of this year. It's Mutant Elysium. It's the last standalone expansion for Mutant Year Zero. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. Like you said, it's the third expansion. So it's like Mutant Year Zero is really like not one game. It's like four games. It's four pillars. They're all standalone, so you can really play them one at a time. And of course, Mutant Year Zero that came out first is a fully, it's a complete game on its own. But what we've done is sort of build a universe, not just with one game, but with four games. So together, they should create a bigger setting, a bigger game universe. And that's really what we're doing. And this is like the fourth part of that. I mean, that doesn't mean after this one's out, the game is done and we're gonna, it just means we're done with the foundation for the game, where we sort of planned the whole setting out now. So from now on, you can just keep on, doing more stuff, but the foundation is there, so to speak.
Awesome. That was my main concern. I was a little bit sad when I saw that this was like the fourth. I was thinking maybe this was the last act and like this was going to be it for Mutant Year Zero. So we'll talk about maybe some future plans that you have for Mutant Year Zero later on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Elysium, what it entails? It's the previous books, you played as mutants, you played as animals, you played as robots. This time you're playing as humans in the post-apocalyptic setting that you've created. Can you tell us a little bit about this setting that Elysium takes place in?
Sure. Yeah, like you mentioned there, each of these four games, Year Zero, Genlab Alpha, Mechatron, and now Elysium, they all focus on one of the core classes of the game, and that actually goes back to previous versions of Mutant. I mean, the first version came out in the 1980s. It's Swedish only. It's kind of like a Swedish version of Gamma World, I'd say. I mean, the first edition was heavily inspired by that. So it's got that kind of a same kind of type of setting. But really what we wanted to do when we started doing Mutant Year Zero is to sort of focus a bit more on like the background of all of these classes and how this post-apocalyptic world came to be. So each of these games, they all focus on like the origin story of each of the classes. So the first one is Mutant Year Zero, where you play mutants, and it's all about how the mutants came to be, and it felt like the natural starting point, for a game called Mutant Year Zero.
Sure.
Second game was about the animals, the anthropomorphic animals of Genlab Alpha. So it's all about that, if you want to get that kind of feel to your game. The third one is about robots, and the fourth one, this one, Elysium, is about that sort of non-mutant humans. And it's a bit different from the others because they have a very much, I mean, the other Year Zero games are, it's kind of, I mean, the mutants of Year Zero, they're starting from scratch, starting from zero, so to speak. So it's sort of, it doesn't have a lot of backstory and tradition. You can discover your backstory as a mutant in that game, but it doesn't have a long history that you're aware of when starting the game. This is very different. In Elysium, you're actually playing the last remaining humans left on Earth that are still part of the old society. I mean, the old world, the so-called ancients. You're actually the last of the ancients still hanging on, in one of because when the during the apocalypse of this universe, a number of enclaves were built, like underground big cities where people, took shelter. And this game takes place in the last remaining of these enclaves, so it's really like the last outpost of the old world that still remains in this mutant setting. It's been like two or three centuries since the end of the world, basically. And really you get a lot of backstory. You get to know much more about that society and what is sort of what actually happened and what's the background of these humans still living in this enclave and what they're about and their traditions and their their history. So you get to know a lot more about that than in the previous versions, which were more focused on, okay, so what do we do now? This one is gives a lot more backstory and background.
Nice. Now, this setting has four houses that you play in that are part of this enclave, Elysium One. Can you tell us a little bit about these four houses that you talk about in the Kickstarter? I'm assuming that's part of the player creation. Is you're from one of these houses?
Yeah. I guess you could say this is a bit of Game of Thrones meets Judge Dredd kind of thing. So it's.
I actually was going to compare it to Judge Dredd I actually have it right here in my notes. So right. That's pretty funny that I was kind of spot on with that.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. I mean, those are the kind of influences, because what we wanted to do, because apart from just following one of the classes for these four games, we also wanted to give each game a very different feel and a different theme, so you actually do different things. It's not just a reskin with another class. It's really a very different experience, because like the other games, this one also contains a complete campaign in its own. Right. And what you do there is quite different from the previous campaigns. I mean, in the first one, Year Zero, you were playing survivors building a new world, a new society. The second one is about escaping. It's about breaking free. It's about the animals who are trying to escape captivity. The third one, the robots, are the robots seeking self-awareness and, you know, finding a place in the world as thinking, you know, beings. Here we turn that all around. So actually, which can be a challenge to play, but I think an interesting one, and that's you actually play the people in charge. You play people who are whose job it is to sort of keep the old order, to protect the old order when it's clearly falling apart. And that's sort of an interesting twist. Normally, as in most RPGs, you play like the rebel, you play the someone who's sort of at least, you know, fighting for the good cause and heroes. And here it's not that. You're not playing bad guys per se, but you're in a position where you're it's your job to protect a falling reign, a falling regime. And that's kind of an interesting place to be, because you sort of have to figure out, okay, so this is supposedly my job, but if it's clearly, you know, this is not going well, when do I sort of abandon ship? When do I find some other thing to do or find my own path in this collapse that's clearly going to happen?
Well, I think it's kind of like, I like Mechatron, with where your robots that have kind of become sentient and you're trying to like hide that from, you know, your other, you know, your colony or whatever from the other robots. And you're trying to keep that, like, that's part of it as well. So I think that this setting is a lot kind of, it's similar to that, in that you're trying to, you know, trying to keep control, but yet trying, you know, that eventually things are going to have to, things are going to come out, and you're going to be part of the big thing that's going to happen at the end.
Sure. I mean, there are similarities, absolutely. And I think, but also some differences. And one of the differences are these houses that you mentioned, because that's sort of in the backstory here, there are four powerful families. And what happened is this: Elysium is one of the Titan powers. The Titan power is like a conglomerate of corporations, nations, important, you know, powerful, rich people that sort of came together when the world fell and sort of formed an alliance. And this Elysium alliance is really formed by four powerful dynasties of industry and finance, you know, rich people who sort of, you know, saw that, you know, things are going to, you know, the world is coming to an end, we have to do whatever we can to survive. And they created this Titan power and these enclave to secure their own future. And really, so that means that you have these elites that founded Elysium, and that's sort of been part of that, how that Titan power is run, and those are the four houses, and they're all sort of still in charge of this enclave. But what happened is that because things have, you know, slowly the other long enclaves have been lost in the enclave wars, and you have there's been, you know, less and less resources, and the enclave is really, I mean, it's been centuries and it's kind of falling apart, and these four houses have started to turn on each other and sort of really trying to sort of gain more control than the other houses around them. So really, there's a power struggle between these four houses about nice. Control of what's left. And sort of as a character, you get involved in this power struggle, but you're also, you know, it's also your job to keep law and order because you play as a so-called judicator, it's kind of a police in this enclave. So you sort of have to weigh your duty as a judicator to your, you know, duty to your family or your dynasty that you belong to. And then you have to sort of also finally see for yourself when you sort of have to abandon maybe both of these duties and find your own way. So it's kind of balancing all of these little themes going on there. But at its core, it's not that complicated. Basically, you play like a squad or a unit of police who are solving crime. I mean, that's the core of it. It's more of
I like it.
So, but then they have these other things under the surface.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you said in the Kickstarter, there's new rules for creating your characters, your human characters in this game. Yeah. Can you explain a little bit about what those new rules are? I know that you've spoiled one of the roles as in the game is you can play as an investigator. Can you kind of give us a little more detail on the character creation and with Elysium?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the core game mechanics are the same as in the previous game, so they're totally compatible. And just like in the other games, the idea that when you finish the campaign that's included, you can bring these characters into the zone, into the bigger Mutant Year Zero campaign. So they're all compatible. So when you have all four games, you can have people from all classes mixing in the zone. But there are some in each of these games, the four games, they have some unique twists to character creation and some rules for characters of that particular class. And in this case, it's the non-mutant characters. And they're traditionally the trickiest ones to create, you know, special abilities for and so on.
Right.
Because the mutants, they obviously have their mutations, like their superpowers. You have the animals, they have their animal powers. That's easy enough. And you have the robots, and they have their robot modules. Makes sense. Not that complicated.
Right.
So what do normally people do? What cool stuff do they have that's actually kind of, you know, different? And in this game, what sets the non-mutant humans apart from other people are their legacy and their heritage and their sort of connections, their long history. So what they have instead of mutations are what's called contacts. So they have a network of contacts. And even if they would leave the enclave and actually play out in the zone, they would still have some of that with them. So actually, you can sort of use your contacts to gain services, gear, you know, equipment, knowledge. You can get, you know, help from a number of these different contacts that you can have in the game. So basically, the superpower, the special power of the non-mutant humans are actually their contacts. There's also in this game rules for cybernetics of a kind. It's called biomechatronics. So there's an element of that. There was some of that in GenLab Alpha, maybe some of you are familiar with, but it's more developed here and rules for actually how you can have that for your character as well. So if you want some of that cyberpunk feel, there's a bit of a chance you can introduce cybernetics into your campaign as well. Yeah,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So let's talk about the book itself. The book, do you know approximately what the page count is on the book or how big it is going to be at this point?
We're already way well into layout of it. I would expect, I don't have the final page count just yet, but I think it should be very close to the previous two books, GenLab and Mechatron, and they're both exactly 240 pages. So I would assume this one would be that as well. Maybe a bit more, but around that, very close to that.
Excellent. And it's got, you said, it's got a full campaign, Guardians of the Fall, that's included with it. So not only do you have your rules, but you have a campaign to play quite a bit. And it's also got rules, like you said, to implement it in with the other settings.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really like that you always do, I can't praise you enough on your Kickstarter, communication, how you use that platform is just, if every publisher could use Kickstarter the way you guys use Kickstarter, I would be so happy because I love the fact that you guys put out like a alpha and a beta PDF of your games. You let people play it, you know, and you have really great communication back and forth with your backers. You've announced that if folks back Elysium, they should have the PDF before Christmas. The rough draft kind of.
Exactly, like a beta PDF. It's probably will be the full book, the entire, you know, all 240 pages or so of it. There could be one or two chapters might not be completely finished, but those will not be, you know, you won't need those to actually play the game. So whether it's actually the 100% of the game or 90%, you will definitely get a big meaty PDF before Christmas.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is exciting. And then
the idea is that you will actually get the chance to read the game, play the game, and then we get feedback. We will have a look at all of that and then complete it, in a month or so later. So we'll have the holidays to sort of have a look at the game in peace and quiet.
That's great. Now, the physical book itself, you have a delivery date for April, which is, again, really aggressive. You've been really good with your Kickstarter, you know, target dates. There's a few projects that kind of got that you had to kind of go back on. But you've, like I said, you use Kickstarter really, really well, and I appreciate that. And I know a lot of you keep having success on Kickstarter, and I think that's because of it.
We did have some delays on some projects that we are delivering now.
Right,
Forbidden Lands and Emissary Lost are both a bit delayed. Particularly Forbidden Lands, which is running on 5 or 6 months now. It's a combination of we needing a bit more time and then distribution itself taking a bit longer than planned. But at least now that's finally going out. And for this date that we set now for April, even though it's, like you say, it's not that far off, we feel confident we can do that. And we have factored in extra time, more than we usually do, just to avoid delays of the kind that we had for the last few projects. So even accounting for that, because we, like I mentioned, we intend to have the full game laid out, completely finished by Christmas, and then we'll have time, a month or two, just to do corrections and proofing and so on, and then we'll still have 2 months to print the game, so it's in and ship it. So it's you know, the way we see it, we're not. We should have plenty of time.
Nice. Excellent. No, it's really, really exciting to see this, just another project, just take off for you. But now that you've hit your funding for Elysium, let's talk about the stretch goals, because that, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when I saw, like, this, I always like playing mutants. I like playing the animals. I like playing robots. Humans, I was just like, I don't know how well I'm excited to see it because it's the next chapter. But then your stretch goals just, like, totally just got me even more excited, because you've unlocked some great stretch goals. And then you have one that is the highest one that you've got on right now. Totally has me. I'm just so excited for it. And And let's just talk about the stretch goals just for a second. You've unlocked a map of Elysium 1, which is the enclave that the folks play in. You unlock the hardcover book, so it's going to be a hardcover book just like the others. You unlocked a card deck. Mm-hmm. You unlocked the dice, which are awesome dice. If anybody hasn't gotten the dice for Mutant Year Zero, you definitely have to get all the dice. They're just beautiful dice.
Could be worth mentioning that we're sort of the previous dice set we had is out of print, and this is a new one now. So it could be useful for anyone playing, you know, any mutant game.
Nice, but the stretch goal that excites me is this campaign book that once you hit, I know it's a million crowns or something like that. You guys have, I forget what the conversion is for us, but it's like $100,000 in US for us.
Yeah.
You basically unlock, there's like three zone or four zone compendiums that are leading that unlock all the way up to this point. And then once you hit it's like $100,000 US, but it unlocks a hardcover campaign book that uses all of those compendiums or all those zone compendiums. Plus it like ties them all together into this campaign. That has me so excited. I kind of wish that you'd done that right along, like with those other zone compendiums. But tell us a little bit about this, because I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a campaign book that we're you know, one that we want to make. It's called the Gray Death. It's and there's different zone sectors that lead up to it and would be a part of it. There's sort of, because normally when we do the zone compendia previously, each zone compendium has about 4 or 5 special zone sectors. Special zone sectors like a scenario location that you can place in the zone when you play Mutant Year Zero. And if you have Elysium and Mechatron and Genlab, you can use those to have those characters in the zone as well after you play the campaign in them. But for this, the thing we did differently now is that instead of having the zone sectors in the zone compendium being completely independent and standalone, we tied them together in a bit of a more of a campaign. It still doesn't mean you have to play them in a particular order, and it still doesn't mean you have to play them, they have to be located in a specific place. You can still play anywhere you like. If you play in your own, wherever you placed your zone, you can still place these locations anywhere you like, but they tie together. So it's like, so there's like a meta plot, there's like a story that ties those zone sectors together, and there is like an and there's a, you know, a backstory, and there's something going on that, and there's like, there will be a like a dramatic arc and a campaign finale at the end. So it sort of ties these together, still modular, but still turns them into a complete campaign. And I think what's really cool about this is the idea is at least that you can use all of the 4 games, Year Zero, Genlab, Mechatron, and Elysium, and use them all, and the characters from all of those games, they all tie into the Gray Death. So they, it sort of ties everything together, which I think is kind of cool, because that's been like the goal from the very beginning, to sort of reach that point where you bring all of these classes together after having explored their origin stories. You sort of now finally see them all together for the first time, you know, in this adventure that's called the Gray Death.
Oh, I'm just really excited about it. I was excited when I pledged, but then once you announced that, I'm like, oh my word, like, this is just going to be even better. Because here's the question I have for you. April, is the April target date still in effect for this campaign book, or do you think you'll have to ship it after the fact?
Well, hopefully, if all goes well, yes, we will be able to publish that and ship that alongside Elysium, so you get them at the same time. I'm not 100% sure that's going to be possible, but that's definitely sure. Definitely the plan. We are already, I mean, that because the Gray Death is actually, I mean, we most of the games that we do nowadays, we do in English first, or Swedish and English at the same time in some cases. The mutant games are still, we're still doing what we, because we started doing the Swedish versions first, the English have been following as a second step, and that's stayed that way up until this point. So in this case, the Swedish Gray Death is done, and it's coming from the printers just in a week or two.
Oh, nice.
So it's done in English. That means we have all of the art, the entire text is done. So it's being translated to English right now, actually. So all of these zone sectors that are stretch goals now, they are being translated now. So we're already starting working on them. But I mean, depending on how well the Kickstarter goes, that sort of determines whether we can actually finish this and print this and ship it as part of the Elysium Kickstarter. And if not, then we'll have to sort of figure out what to do later on. But sure, we have good hope that we'll be able to reach the stretch goals too, so we can print them and ship them together.
Awesome. Awesome. No, I'm really excited about that. Let's talk about future plans for Mutant Year Zero. Is the campaign book like what you envision going forward? Is that like a product that you're going to be like, I know Coriolis had its own Emissary Lost, you know, campaign book.
Yeah.
Since this is like the fourth building block for the Mutant Year Zero, are your plans going forward to create campaign books like the Gray Death?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's like I mentioned that the first 4 core books, they sort of build the universe, the foundations of the universe, and now we're a lot freer on what we're going to be doing. And I think campaign books like the Gray Death are a great way of doing it. To sort of give because a difference between Coriolis and Mutant Year Zero generally is that Coriolis has more of, let's say, a more classic or traditional approach to campaigns. I mean, the Emissary Lost campaign is a bit more linear. It's great, but it's a bit of a different way to do things. Whereas Mutant Year Zero has always, from the start, been a more sandbox kind of game, and more exploration has been its core to the game, and that's something we want to keep. So the balance is to bring in a bit more, connective tissue and a bit more meta plot and a bit more story, without losing that free exploration of it, which is really important. So I think campaign books like The Grey Death, where you have a bigger story, but you still keep that kind of freedom in the gameplay, I think it's a good way to go.
Nice. Now, I did have a question from Matthew from the Coriolis Effect podcast. Mm-hmm. And if anybody is not listening to the Coriolis Effect podcast, you should be listening to the Coriolis.
Yeah.
Matthew and Dave do a great job. And they wish they could have come on and co-chaired this session with me, but they had other personal matters to be at today. But Dave did send over... Matthew sent over a question. He mm-hmm. said, and this is kind of, and I was going to ask this, but then I'm like, well, maybe I'm the only one that thought this. I originally thought, and Matthew did as well, that Elysium was going to take place in space.
Ah.
And I think it's because maybe the starter, alludes to like something happening in space, which
yeah.
is fine. So our question is, and because it was my question too, because I was just glad that I wasn't the only one that thought this. Do you have any plans for space content coming into the Mutant Year Zero setting?
Well, funny that you mentioned it. Yes, we do. So yeah, that's
okay.
That's in the thing actually. It's a project that's been, we bounced around quite a bit. It's actually mentioned in the core book of Mutant Year Zero. It's what we call Mutant Ad Astra, and that's really like the space right. version of Mutant Year Zero. It's also being worked on right now, but it's definitely connected to the other, the core Year Zero universe, but since it takes place in the solar system, it's a bit disconnected from what's happening, on the Earth's surface. Sure. So it's also part of building the universe. It's also going to be, even more of a sort of a standalone thing. But there's definitely been, we're already working on it. And I think that the illustrator for Ad Astra, he likes to post stuff online. So I think you can actually find some things from him, from Mutant Ad Astra, some sketches already online, okay. if you want to check that out.
Nice. So I'll have to do a little digging.
Yeah, you should do some digging. His name is Kim W. Anderson. So if you...
Anderson. I'm writing it down right now, so I have yeah. something to do this afternoon.
Good. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about 2019 plans for Free League. You had such a phenomenal 2018. I'm so excited for 2019 for you folks. You've got Forbidden Lands that's already shipping on its way to backers right now.
Yeah.
You have Emissary Lost, which is on its way to backers here shortly. I think it starts shipping on Monday or tomorrow. Yndros ships this week at some point mm-hmm. after, because if folks haven't heard already, you guys have merged with you brought in the Simbarum line onto your Free League lines. What can folks expect from Free League for 2019?
Well,
without having to spoil too much. I mean, I know you can't. You gotta be a little tight-lipped, but
there are a couple of things that I can't really go into just yet. But let's just say it's going to be an interesting year. I think, there's quite a few things going on that I can't mention at all just yet.
Right.
Cool stuff that I can mention. Of course, we are. We kickstarted Things from the Flood RPG earlier this fall. It's like the follow-up to Tales from the Loop. So that's right. going to be shipping and going into retail in the spring. Same thing for the Crusader Kings board game that we kickstarted last year. That's going to be releasing, going to backers. We have Elysium for Mutant at Astra, of course. We will also next year be kickstarting and releasing the next part of the Simbarum campaign.
Nice.
So that's coming out. So that's, I think it's called Mother of Darkness. That's going to be interesting. So we're doing that. And some couple of things that I can't go into right now. We're also working on the next big campaign book for Coriolis after Emissary Lost. Lost is part one of a trilogy. So the next part is we're working on. So that's coming out, and some more stuff I'll have to get back to you on.
I'm excited. I can't tell you. I love having you guys on. I love seeing you just grow over these last few years. You keep growing and growing and growing, and I love that. And you're just putting out some great products, Thomas. And whenever I bring you guys up in our Discord chat or wherever, everybody mentions, man, Free League is just setting the bar for, you know, these really, really excellent products and RPG books that are being put out on the market, and you guys are just doing this great job, and I'm so excited for you folks, and I'm excited to see what 2019 is going to bring for you. Hopefully maybe we'll see a few more board games. I'm hoping
that's not impossible.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that. Yeah.
All right. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody, if you haven't checked out Elysium on Kickstarter, I put the link in the description of this video, so please check it out. I'm just excited to see them have this huge success, and they're doing a great job just connecting to their community on Kickstarter, on online, and everything. And I can't speak their praises enough, because they're everything that I want to see in a publisher and in a board game creator and everything. So thank you guys so much for doing what you're doing. Thank you to your team. Thank you to your team for making some great products as well. This has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for watching.
Bye.